So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think we start with Surah Al-Fatiha. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Malik yawm al-Din, Iyyaka na'budu wa Iyyaka nasta'in, ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim, sirat al-ladhina an'amta 'alayhim, ghayri al-maghdubi 'alayhim wad-dallin. Give me a salawat, please.
اللهم صل على محمد
محمد
وآل
وآل
محمد.
محمد وآجل. أعوذ بالله السميع
فرجع
العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين، ولعن الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الأولين والآخرين، آمين يا رب العالمين. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والعصر، إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. So, this, our eighth session on patience, as discussed by Ayatollah Khamenei in his book built on his lectures called Discourses on Patience, is actually the last session that we'll be having on this subject for now. And it's like a wrap-up of everything we've learned and a few really important points. So in this final part, we really want to look at notions such as this notion of the birth of an invincible spirit, which is of course linked to psychological traces of patience in the lives of various individuals, as well as the appearance of righteous virtues within even ourselves, and the idea of having more attention and more reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in terms of the psychological traces of patience in the life of, or in the lives of individuals, apart from constructive social advantages that patience provides, such as gaining victory, the fulfillment of aims and goals, this characteristics, that is true patience, is also responsible for the positive and very important influences upon the mentality and spirit of a patient person. It's because of this almost miraculous awareness that most of the historical human sacrifices, especially the supreme sacrifice of the martyrs of Karbala, all of the companions and family of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, who we remember every year during the nights of Ashura and throughout the year, it's because of this notion of patience that these sacrifices become a lot easier for us to comprehend, for us to understand. This is, of course, if we understand patience in the correct way. And what we mean by spiritual mentality in this regard are the influences that have been left by the patient person upon his soul and mind, that before accomplishing the external and definite results of his struggle, he immediately obtains the personal results, as we've previously explained. Now, the first and the foremost and most positive constructive effect of patience is to produce a strong and invincible personality. Just like a good physical exercise program is going to make a person strong and healthy, enabling them to offer strong resistance. Secondly, it produces all of the required elements for achieving success in the accomplishment of someone's aims, the fulfillment of their desires, be they material desires, ideological. You can find these among patient individuals. You can find that this strength exists in patient individuals. The defeats and failures that are suffered during the social, religious, and ideological struggle really have a devastating morale effect, a really harsh blow that is inflicted by the vincible, by the weak mentalities upon the determination to carry on the struggle. The damage and devastation of which sometimes can be far more severe as the losses inflicted by a trained professional in the armed forces with their weaponry. So if you consider a soldier, for example, who decided to run away from the battlefield, turning their back on the enemy, this soldier has suffered a really catastrophic morale defeat that has prompted him prior to giving up his physical strength, until such a soldier, such a person has such a psychological defeat, until such a defeat is inflicted on them, it's actually impossible for them to run away, to turn their back and run away. In fact, there's a US general who died in 1959 called George C. Marshall, who actually said that you can have all the material in this world, but without morale, it's largely ineffective. And he also said, it's not enough to fight. It is the spirit which we bring to the fight that decides the issue. It is the morale that wins the victory. Now, if we look in history, there is the example of someone named Tariq ibn Zayd, who was a commander of the Muslim army. He was a commander and he was one of the victors, the ones who managed to conquer Spain in the 94th year after Hijrah, in that's around 711 of the Common Era, who, when he crossed the Mediterranean Sea and stepped upon what he called enemy land, he ordered the burning of all his ships. And this was to prevent him from running away, but it's also an example of this invincible spirit. Now, the prime quality of patience is to produce such an invincible spirit in the patient person, where no matter what happens, no matter what trials and tribulations they're affected by, they refuse to buckle, they refuse cowardice, they refuse to retreat, and they keep going forward. Such individuals who, while facing routine events during their lives, their day-to-day lives, such as, for example, financial losses, sickness, frustration, hatred, death, etc., do not offer resistance and endurance. And very soon they become dejected, aggrieved, annoyed, and helpless when they are confronted with obstacles in their path. And they leave the scene of the struggle, and they're easily susceptible to defeat. So these are people who don't carry that patience. Now, contrary to these people who are these individuals with, if you like, a weak mentality, are those who, in confronting every event throughout their lives, whatever it is, they use patience as their ultimate weapon. They offer resistance in the best manner possible. And they achieve what can be described as an invincible morale and an extremely strong willpower, so they can face all of these problems throughout their lives, whatever these problems might be. It might be something very trivial, like they fell over and they hurt themselves, or it might be a very serious problem where they're about to be thrown into a dungeon. An impatient person can be compared to a soldier in the battlefield who is fighting virtually naked without any armor. Such an ill-equipped soldier is most likely to be killed or to disappear from the scene during the very first encounter. By the same token, a patient person can be compared to a soldier who is clad in a strong coat of armor, in chainmail, in Kevlar, in whatever the current armor thing is, from head to toe. And this such a person is fully equipped with all of the required armaments and everything. Obviously, to defeat such a well-equipped soldier, a well-prepared soldier by the enemy, is a hugely difficult task. The one who would never be defeated in the battlefield of life is the one who has already made all the necessary arrangements by putting on this armor of patience. Such a person never gets defeated easily. And when faced with problems, unpleasant events, difficulties, awkward people, etc., which, let's be honest, they abound at every step on the road to perfection. As you go down, go further on this road, they become more and more. They never flinch. Their legs and their heart remain firm and resolute, and they don't show even the slightest signs of trembling or being nervous or scared. Now, there's a narration from Imam Sadiq, the sixth Imam of the Muslims, peace and blessings be upon him, that throws a lot of light on the depth of this divinely inspired Islamic characteristic. The hadith is from a book called Tuhaf al-Uqul, which means the masterpieces of the mind, by someone called Al-Harani, and it's in the section on the maxims of Imam Sadiq, the references in the write-up. Imam Sadiq says, anyone who has not prepared himself, anyone who has not prepared for himself the logistics of patience to meet every tragedy, will find himself in a state of despair and hopelessness. Now, this means that one who has not planned in advance, who hasn't developed a strategy of how to face the myriad of problems, the unexpected tragedies of life, someone who has not developed that within himself, who hasn't developed this spirit of resistance, will very quickly find themselves in a state of despair, of helplessness, of despondency. And the opposite is the case. That if someone, in anticipation of such a confrontation with tragedies, difficulties, problems, has equipped himself with the logistics of patience, such a person will never face disappointment or defeat or despondency. The secret to this of steadfastness and permanence of the great builders of history, foremost among them being, for example, the prophets and others from the pious leaders and elites, who, despite having been afflicted with horrible and severe pains and tortures at the very beginning of their struggle, they remained active, they remained stable. The secret of this steadfastness and permanence lies within patience. With an accurate foresight, if we examine and we understand that bitterness and pleasantness on this path, and if we equip ourselves correctly with the logistics of patience, just like these people in the past, we would be able to completely eliminate the possibility of any sort of psychological defeat. And with the results, we can convert ourselves as they converted themselves into the most robust and invincible of people. Their opponents and enemies, that in many instances were equipped with all manner of supplies, resources, all of this stuff, they became tired and hopeless, exhausted. But these great men, in spite of them being deprived of such resources, diligently continued their heroic and invincible resistance. And indeed, we can see this in our current times right in front of us, day in, day out. With the heroic resistance shown by the heroes of Gaza and Lebanon. Their Zionist and US adversaries are equipped with the most advanced weaponry, the most powerful bombs and fighter planes and tanks and aircraft carriers and so on and so on and so on and so on. Yet, even with all of this, the heroes in Gaza and Lebanon, they're resolute and they continue their sacred resistance and they keep dealing monumental blows to the Zionists and to the US Empire and all of its vassals. Indeed, superficially speaking, had the armor of patience not even been in the equation, then without a doubt, on seeing the genocidal behavior of the US, of the Zionists, all of this, the people in Gaza and Lebanon would have lost their morale. They would have been devastated. They would have been broken. However, because they do have this armor of patience, because they do have this weapon of patience, they are and will continue to be resistant, resolute, firm. And you'll never hear of their legs or their hearts trembling at the sight of the enemy's firepower and atrocities and bunker busters and aircraft carriers and F-35s and whatever. But you will see they only find that their belief and their resolve is increased. And this is evidenced by the Quran, which clearly says in Surah Ali Imran, the chapter of the family of Imran, the third chapter of the Quran, verses 173 to 174. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, those to whom the people have said, the people have mobilized against you, so fear them. But this increased them in faith, and they said, God is enough for us, and He is the excellent protector. So they came back with grace from God and bounty, and no harm having touched them. They pursued what pleases God. God possesses immense grace. Even in the New Testament, in the book of James, for example, it's written in James 1, 2 to 4, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters. whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And even further back, if we go to the Psalms in the Old Testament, you find in Psalms 37, 7 to 9, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. Patience, really, if we reflect on it, is the weapon and the armor of the believer, and it is a link to God. For to be patient and steadfast is to follow the path laid by God for the righteous. The Quran teaches, and we mentioned this verse in the previous part of this discussion, in last week's part, in Surah Al-Baqarah, the chapter of the cow, second chapter of the Quran, verse 153, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, O you who believe, seek help through patience and prayer. Truly God is with the patient, with the steadfast. Now, if we go back into Islamic history, we can see that there was one of the Abbasid caliphs by the name of Mutawakkil al-Abbasi, who was particularly hostile to the family of Prophet Muhammad. He ruled from 232 after Hijrah, which is about 847 in the Common Era, to 247 after Hijrah, which is around 861 Common Era. He had once said, Ibn al-Rida, the son of Imam al-Rida, has put me in a state of being perplexed. Now, a little note over here to give some clarity is that after Imam al-Rida, the eighth Imam of the Muslims, the three successive Imams after him, that is the ninth, tenth, and eleventh, during that period were called Ibn al-Rida, the sons of Imam al-Rida. In the quote that I've just said from Mutawakkil Abbasi, the reference is to Imam Ali al-Hadi, the tenth Imam of the Muslims. Now we need to ask ourselves, how is it that someone like Imam al-Hadi, who has spent most of his period of imamah, his time of being the leader of the Muslims, under huge pressure of the ruling Abbasid regime, and specifically that of the reign of the specifically tyrannical Mutawakkil al-Abbasi, how is it that this imam is in a position to put this hugely powerful tyrant in a state of great annoyance and of being perplexed? This needs to be reflected on. Give me a salawat, please. So, if we think, when one of two combatant adversaries is weak in terms of outward resources, but despite being faced with imprisonment, deprivation, being taken away from a comfortable and secure environment, does not allow such pressures or hardships to break his will. Despite all of the obstacles in his path, he continues his long-term march diligently. It's clear, it's obvious, it's apparent, self-evident, that his adversary, who despite having much better material resources, but lacking the commitment, strong belief, and faith, and therefore such an adversary really can very, very quickly become perplexed, annoyed, harassed, and defeated. And again, we're seeing this happening right in front of us, as we've mentioned, in Gaza and Lebanon, where despite being, in comparison to the US and the Zionist entity, woefully ill-equipped, the resistive heroes are resisting in a manner that the enemies, they really can't cope with. There are so many reports coming through of suicides within the Zionists. And remember, the Zionists don't announce their figures. These are things that are being leaked by families and whatnot. Reports of soldiers who want to run away from the battlefield, and an overwhelming sense of defeat within the Zionists and the US axis of terror. And this is apparent. If you watch Israeli media, you will see this. All of their schemes are coming to nothing. And this is because the honorable heroes in Palestine and Lebanon are operating with complete patience. They are resolute in their heroic and honorable resistance. And when faced with such an enemy, the Zionists, in the same way as Mutawakkil Abbasi, become perplexed. They can't understand why their big, powerful super weapons are not weakening the resolve of this small resistance. The verse of the Quran we quoted earlier from Surah Al Imran, the third chapter of the Quran, the family of Imran, verse 173 to 174, that those to whom the people have said, the people have mobilized against you, so fear them. But this only increased them in faith. And they said, God is enough for us. He is an excellent protector. So they came back with grace from God and bounty, and no harm having touched them. They pursued what pleases God, and God possesses immense grace. This is exactly that. When a person has God, when they have patience and resolve, when they have that certainty in belief, then they are stronger than mountains. Nothing can break them. An impatient wayfarer cannot exhaust his adversary without first exhausting himself. And such a situation would undoubtedly result in the impatient wayfarer being defeated. However, for the patient wayfarer, as we've said, he will completely perplex and confuse and defeat his enemy by being resolute and firm like a mountain with a will that never falters at difficulties and calamities. This is the amazing characteristic of patience, which makes a person invincible. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Ali Muhammad.
So the people, before testing, cannot evaluate themselves and very often are unaware about the hidden energy in their existence. Let us consider the example of a strong person, someone who is possessed with plenty of natural physical strength without doing any particular practice or physical exercise. Let us imagine that he has never participated in, for example, a weightlifting or any other physical competition. Such a person is certainly not aware of the amount of his physical strength. Likewise, we too can only discover that God-given energy in our existence when we are challenged to participate in a certain competition, which requires the utilization of that particular energy. The second important effect of patience is that a patient person, after offering resistance in the various fields of life against the many, many events, obstacles, discovers this amount of energy, discovers its particulars and the noble and sublime virtues hidden within his very existence by virtue of this energy. Virtues that were never known or discovered by him earlier during the routine of life, where he didn't face any trials or tribulations. Those who have suffered the pressures and harshness of life, and for the sake of their cherished noble aims and ideals, were subjected to great difficulties, tragedies, hardships, calamities, they can appreciate what I've just said, this above meaning. Such individuals, with an irreversible degree of determination in their confrontation with great dangers, pressures, while a strange and naive observer would have considered them defeated and destroyed, because of their patience and endurance, they're able to achieve a sense of relief and victory, an unprecedented power and a surprising grandeur within their existence. Something which was completely new and indeed perhaps even unexpected for them, something that was previously completely unrealized by them. The third constructive quality of patience is that whatever stage or extent a patient person may be at, it helps to bring them closer and indeed to increase their reliance upon God. And this is actually really important. Now, some people, they might consider that reliance upon God does not get along with reliance upon the self. And therefore, according to their logic, a person who is dependent on God cannot rely upon themselves. When it is said, rely upon God, such people complain. Let people rely on themselves and let their eyes and hopes look towards themselves, as if the one who invites people to rely on God wants them to not rely on themselves. While in reality, for a person committed to God, reliance upon the self is complementary and indeed inseparable from their reliance on God. You can't separate the two. Indeed, to such an extent are the two connected that reliance upon the self is considered a core component of patience, which in effect means that it's a core component for the true reliance on God. Because impatience against bitter tragedies of life and fear against the optional calamities, as we've discussed, these are reflections of a lack of self-reliance. They can also lead to and be a means for forgetting Allah, being negligent regarding Allah, becoming despondent, which is, of course, from one of the greatest sins. When a person is inflicted with huge tragedies throughout life, and they feel the millstone of the tests of life grinding down upon them with great pressure, with great severity. If such a person does not become impatient, if they don't become aggrieved and/or annoyed, the channels of his communication with God would proportionately become wider. The bandwidth they have to communicate with God becomes wider, becomes more independent. And his heart and soul would be further enlightened with the light of God. On the contrary, a person who becomes weak and annoyed, this makes him ignorant, rash, like a stranger, someone disconnected not just from him, his own self, but someone disconnected from God. This verse from the Quran speaks about a reality fully explicit and with clear reasoning, and tested with the experience of those who, in their confrontation with the most adverse of conditions, were able to utilize patience as their winning, or to quote the Western media nowadays, game-changing weapon. And they believe and acknowledge this matter with full certainty. And the verse is from the second chapter of the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, the chapter of the cow. It's verse number 250. And it reads, "So when they went forth against Goliath and his forces, they said, 'O our Lord, grant us patience and make firm, that is, make steady our footsteps, and help us against the people who reject, who deny the truth.'" And this needs to be really reflected on because, now the days that we're in actively are the days where we remember Fatima al-Zahra, Salamullahi alayha, the daughter of the Prophet Muhammad. It wouldn't be out of place to mention a little from the life of Fatima al-Zahra, where she exhibited huge patience and was an example for this type of patience. Now, of the many times that our beloved mother, Fatima al-Zahra, Salamullahi alayha, showed patience, indeed, where her patience was immortalized in the Quran, as in the verse, which is from Surah Al-Insan, the chapter of humanity, which is chapter 76, verses 8 to 12, which reads, "And they feed for the love of him, the poor and the orphan and the captive, saying, 'We only feed you for the sake of God. We want from you neither compensation nor gratitude. We dread from our Lord a frowning, grim day.' So God will protect them from the ills of that day and will grant them radiance and joy and will reward them for their patience with a garden and silk." Now we can see here that for the love of God and their reliance on Him, and indeed on themselves, Fatimah al-Zahra, Imam Ali and their children, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, etc. And that too during the month of Ramadan, when they were fasting, gave their meal for 3 days continuously to the poor, the orphan, and the captive, relying on breaking their fast with just water. Furthermore, God describes their activities here as being from patience and filled with great benefit for the next day. Now, the meaning of this verse, while a historical event, is that as believers, as those who work to be on the path of truth, as those who promote the truth as best as they can, we should always be ready to help those less fortunate than ourselves. For in our fortune, for in our wealth, for in our health is a test, as God has said clearly in Quran, in again, chapter 2, Al-Baqarah, the chapter of the cow, verses 155 to 157, he says, "We will certainly test you with some fear and hunger, and some loss of possessions and lives and crops, but give good news to the patient. Those who, when a calamity afflicts them, they say, 'We are from God, and unto him is our return.' Upon them are blessings and mercy from God, and indeed they are the guided ones." So, as he says, he will test us with fear, with hunger, with loss of wealth, with loss of lives. Elsewhere, he says he will test us with our wealth and our children more explicitly. In Surah Anfal, the chapter of the spoils of war, which is chapter number 8, verse number 28, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, "And know that your wealth and your children are a test, and that God possesses an immense reward." Indeed, he says, as mentioned in the verse from Surah Al-Baqarah, that these tests, if a person is patient, then they are from the most successful. They are from the ones who are actually guided. So, from the simple act of Fatima Zahra, Imam Ali, and their family, an act so beloved by God that He chose to immortalize it in Quran, we can see that the fruits of patience are profound. We also see that He will test us. And as we become closer to Him, we will be tested yet further. But if we remain steadfast, if we remain true to that covenant of God, if we rely on God, and if we fight our negligence, negligence that this temporal realm forces us towards, moves us towards, then, as Allah says in the Quran, we will be truthful to the covenant that we have made with God. Now, in the Quran, in Surah A'raf, which is the chapter of the heights, chapter 7, verse 172 to 174, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, and this is actually a very interesting conversation. "And when your Lord summoned the descendants of Adam, which includes us, and made them testify about themselves, 'Am I not your Lord?' They said, 'Yes, we testify.' Thus, you cannot say on the day of resurrection, 'We were unaware of this.' Nor can you say, 'Our ancestors practiced idolatry before, and we are their descendants who came after them. Will you destroy us for what the falsifiers did?' We thus elaborate the revelations so that they may return." If we remain steadfast and true to this covenant that we have with Allah, that sometimes we forget, if we practice this true patience, not the invalid patience that is a tool in the hands of tyrants, as we've discussed right at the beginning of this series, then without a doubt, we will attain success both in this world and the next. Give me a salawat, please.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Now, when we speak of Fatima Zahra, salamullahi alayha, we cannot fail to mention the oppression that she was subjected to when the inheritance was usurped. Now, it's important to understand something, that this issue of inheritance was not about something as trivial as to be about a small garden. Rather, it was the usurping of the right, the manipulation of the truth, the impatience that tragically was shown by some following the death of Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him and his family. As the Prophet passed away, a test was placed before the Muslim community, a test of being truthful to the covenant with God and of never wavering, nor allowing the intention to become damaged or polluted by the machinations of satanic forces, knowingly or unknowingly. And tragically, in this regard, in many cases, unfortunately, this test was failed and the rights were usurped. The truth of the prophet was confused and the covenant with God was broken. Nevertheless, both Imam Ali and Fatima Zahra, salamullahi alayhim, in spite of being subjected to great difficulties and great tragedies, not just on them, but on their children and grandchildren, all the way to the final savior, the one who is to us as Joseph was to Jacob, the master of the age, the remnant of God upon the earth. May our souls be his ransom. Lady Zahra, Imam Ali, and all of their descendants, from the first to the last, always, without exception, without fail, continued to move on the road to patience. We saw the patience shown by Imam Ali as the blade of the heretic Ibn Muljim tore his head open on the prayer mat. We saw the patience of Imam al-Hasan as the poison burned through his body, poison given by Muawiyah by way of corrupting his own wife, Ja'da bint Ash'as al-Kindi. We saw the huge, epic patience shown by the Master of the Martyrs, Imam Hussein, during the Epic of Ashura. Indeed, even prior to that, when he spoke candidly, when Imam Hussein spoke candidly in his sermon in Mina and encouraged people to be patient, to resist tyranny, to speak the truth always, no matter the consequence. And now, in our age, we see the final inheritor, the son of Zahra, Imam Mahdi. Ajallah ta'ala farajahu sharif, may our souls be his ransom, who sees all of the trials, the difficulties, who sees the children in Gaza, who sees the children in Lebanon and elsewhere, who sees people across the entire world, be they Muslim or otherwise. Imam Mahdi, of course, we know he is known as the leader of the oppressed, not the leader of the oppressed Muslims or the leader of the oppressed Jews or the leader of the oppressed Christians, the leader of the oppressed, full stop. He sees the oppressors, and his patience is to be like a rock for us. And our patience is for us to be ready for him, to pave the way for his return, so he can fill the earth with justice and equality, as it is filled with injustice and tyranny. But this task requires great patience, both from the Imam as well as us. And that patience that I'm talking about is not a passive patience where we just sit on the prayer mat and say, Allahumma ajil li waliyyik al-faraj. No, this is not just the patience of being passive. We have to pave the way. This is not the patience where we say, we're going to, how do I say, we're going to leave the land of kufr and move to the land of Islam, whatever that is. No, this is to be where we are, to build ourselves, to build and develop that reliance on Allah, on God, and indeed couple that with reliance on ourselves. We have to be a people who bring truth to the world, every corner of it, to protect the world from the noise of the lies that currently prevail, from all of the misinformation, disinformation that is everywhere, like a constant hum. We have to be faithful to our covenant, to our promise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As God says in the Quran, and many times we hear this verse when we talk about people who have moved on, for example, when Sayyid Abu Hadi was martyred, many times this verse is recited. But this verse is something that I'll end with, but it's something we have to think very deeply about, given what we've spoken about regarding the pledge that we have with Allah, what our duties are, wherever we may be on earth. And that is verse number 23 of chapter 33, which is the chapter of the party, the Ahzab, which reads, "Of the believers are men who are true to what they pledged to God, Some of them have fulfilled their vows, and some are still waiting and never wavering. وآخر الدعوان أن الحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Oh my eyes how they burn, and no sound I discern, and my flesh and my bones are torn apart. For the hell from the skies cannot deafen the cries, nor can ever hope to heal my broken heart. On a screen I can see witless lying misery, how the wicked seek to murder and oppress. Many run choose to turn, while the pure scream and burn, and a daughter whispers softly, we are blessed. Every daughter's a hurrah, every wound Fatima, every child they are Hassan and Hussein. Every plain Karbala, every victory Allah, and the Garden of Zahra restored again. In delirium I cannot see through the mire, is that face of the child from this time? I see one called Ali, seems to cry out to me, dare you witness that you are one of mine. Oh, a mother's sweet smile behind the door with her child, gently play until evil breaks it down. All the smiles they are lost, now eternal the cost, desolation through the villages and towns. Every daughter Zahra, every womb Fatima, every child they are Hassan and Hussein. Every plain Karbala, every victory Allah's, and the Garden of Zahra restored again. Can you hear Fatima calling down from afar, reaching out for the mother and the child? Now they recline beneath the throne, all of heaven they own. Far are they from the wicked and the vile. See that lost unborn babe, barely afforded a grave, pierced by splinters and spears as at Karbala. Every tear of Zahra upon the innocent are in the sanctum of our blessed Nasrullah. Every daughter Zahra, every wound Fatima, every child they are Hassan and Hussein. Every plain Karbala, every victory Allah's, and the Garden of Zahra restored again. See the garden they've burned, all the growth they have spurned, where his feet and his forehead praised his Lord. An inheritance they try to steal it away, but the lovers will ensure it is restored. I hear a weeping Zahra, for the soul of Gaza, and for the staunch Southern souls, and all the brave and the lonely soul, the very heir of Batuu, through the martyrs his path is surely paved. Every daughter Zahra, every womb Fatima, every child they are Hassan and Hussein. Every plain Karbala, every victory Allah's, and the garden of Zahra restored again. How the idols do fall, see the liars they crawl, how Allah takes the scales from our eyes. Can you see what I see? We're at lonely Baqi, the very truth that our enemies despise. For the love of Zahra and the lonely Kaaba, in the hands of pagan and mushrikeen, no, we swear by Hussein, no occupation remains, liberation for the world's mustad'afin. Every daughter Zahra, every womb Fatima, every child they are Hassan and Hussein. Every plain Karbala, every victory Allah's, and the garden of Zahra restored again. From the garden of truth cometh forth Allah's proof. Every mother, every child neath his wing, Zainab's words cannot fail, beauty surely prevail, and martyrs for Allah rejoice and sing. We'll rejoice with Zahra, we'll avenge Ashura. You will see through the ruku and sajda, in that holy place there'll be no Zionist face. Behind the blessed we will pray at Al-Aqsa. Every daughter Zahra, every womb Fatima, every child they are Hassan and Hussein. Every plain Karbala, every victory Allah's, and the garden of Zahra restored again. Every daughter Zahra, every womb Fatima, every child they are Hassan and Hussein. Every plain Karbala, every victory Allah's, and the garden of Zahra restored again. Every daughter Zahra, every womb Fatima, every child they are Hassan and Hussein. Every plain Karbala, every victory Allah's, and the garden of Zahra restored again. And the garden of Zahra restored again. And the garden of Zahra restored again.
Allahumma
صل على محمد وآل محمد يا ممتحنة امتحنك الله الذي خلقك قبل أن يخلقك فوجدك لما امتحنك صابرة وزعمنا أنا لك أولياء ومصدقون وصابرون لكل ما أتانا به أبوك صلى الله عليه وآله وأتى به وصيه فإنا نسألك إن كنا صدقناك إلا ألحقتنا بتصديقنا لهما لنبشر أنفسنا بأننا قد طهرنا بولايتك السلام عليك يا بنت رسول الله السلام عليك يا بنت نبي الله السلام عليك يا بنت حبيب الله السلام عليك يا بنت خليل الله السلام عليك يا بنت صفي الله السلام عليك يا بنت أمين الله السلام عليك يا بنت خير خلق الله السلام عليك يا بنت أفضل أنبياء الله ورسله وملائكته السلام عليك يا بنت خير البرية السلام عليك يا سيدة نساء العالمين من الأولين والآخرين السلام عليك يا زوجة ولي الله وخير الخلق بعد رسول الله السلام عليك يا أم الحسن والحسين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة السلام عليك أيتها الصديقة الشهيدة السلام عليك أيتها الرضية المرضية السلام عليك أيتها الفاضلة الزكية السلام عليك أيتها الحوراء الإنسية السلام عليك أيتها التقية النقية السلام عليك أيتها المحدثة العليمة
السلام عليك أيتها المظلومة المغصوبة، السلام عليك أيتها المضطهدة المقهورة، السلام عليك يا فاطمة بنت رسول الله ورحمة الله وبركاته، صلى الله عليك وعلى روحك وبدنك، أشهد أنك مضيت على بينة من ربك، وأن من سرك فقد سر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله، ومن جفاك فقد جفا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله، ومن آذاك فقد آذى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله، ومن وصلك فقد وصل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله، ومن قطعك فقد قطع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله، لأنك بضعة من وروحه التي بين جنبي، أشهد الله ورسله وملائكته أني راض عمن رضيت، عنه ساخط على من سخطت عليه، متبرئ ممن تبرأت منه، موال لمن واليت، معاد لمن عاديت، مبغض لمن أبغضت، محب لمن أحببت، وكفى بالله شهيدا وحسيبا وجازيا ومثيبا. السلام عليك يا بنت رسول الله، أشهد الله وملائكته أني ولي لمن والاك، وعدو لمن عاداك، وحرب لمن حاربك. أنا يا مولاتي بك وبأبيك وبعلك والأئمة من ولدك، موقن بولايتهم، مؤمن ولطاعتهم ملتزم، أشهد أن الدين دينهم والحكم حكمهم، وهم قد بلغوا عن الله عز وجل ودعوا إلى سبيل الله بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة، لا تأخذهم في الله لومة لائم، وصلوات الله عليك وعلى أبيك وبعلك وذريتك الأئمة أئمة الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وأهل بيته، وصل على البتول الطاهرة الصديقة المعصومة التقية النقية الرضية المرضية الزكية الرشيدة المظلومة المقهورة المغصوبة حقها الممنوعة إرثها المكسورة ضلعها المظلوم بعلها المقتول ولدها فاطمة بنت رسولك وبضعة لحمه وصميم قلبه وفلذة كبده والنخبة منك له والتحفة خصصت بها وصيه وحبيبه المصطفى وقرينة المرتضى وسيدة النساء ومبشرة الأولياء حليفة الورع والزهد وتفاحة الفردوس والخلد التي شرفت مولدها بنساء الجنة وسللت بها أنوار الأئمة وأرخيت دونها حجاب النبوة. اللهم صل عليها صلاة تزيد في محلها عندك وشرفها لديك ومنزلتها من رضاك وبلغها منا تحية وسلاما وآتنا من لدنك في حبها فضلا وإحسانا ورحمة وغفرانا إنك ذو العفو الكريم. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم بلغ أرواح المؤمنين والمؤمنات ثواب سورة الفاتحة المباركة مع الصلوات.